I suppose to go back again to Clondalkin and then all those years ago, you told me initially that you were involved in the football field outside of the factory, but were you involved, did they have football in the factory? Was there a team?
They used to have the shifts in the summer, and our shift always won it. There were 11 of the team on the shift.
Oh, I see.
That played football, you know, the one team. And that was Hugh Hurdles. He was the North of Ireland man. And he'd get up there on the sideline, he'd be roaring and shouting at you. But it was great. They were great fellows. You know, that I've seen a lot of it here now, and the workforce there were straight ahead.
Yeah. And you say you got the management and the staff seemed to get on very well together, and that was long, of course, before any of the strikes and
that strike was that was a farce.
Yeah, but you were long gone out.
Oh, I was gone. I couldn't understand it, and we used to buy a lot of pulp from Clondalkin.
Where here in they in
brought it up here, yeah. See, it was to do with paper, egg boxes and egg trays, you know, that's what it was ended up making.
Yeah.
So we bought an awful lot of pulp from there, so.
Yeah.
We thought we'd be struggling a bit, but well, no, we got over it, you know. We went back onto the newspaper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And of course you were telling me that all the different areas that you worked in down in Clondalkin. But was there, you know, were people? You must have missed it. I mean, when you left the factory and or the mills. I mean, and moved, you didn't miss it at all.
No.
Yeah, but of course you got loads of experience.
Oh, I was in Clondalkin mills. I was in Durham paper mills. I was in Killeen paper mills, and up here into Boxmoor.
Yeah,
and that was to do with pulp moulding. You know, it wasn't paper making; it was much the same.
Yeah,
you moulded it instead of flattened it out.
But your life experience, I suppose, it was always working with paper. Paper was your life, really.
Yeah. I chewed an awful lot of it, too.
You what?
Chewed an awful lot. I was always eating the paper.
Yeah, didn't do you any harm.
I got the habit of picking up a bit of paper and I'd chew it away, man.
Yeah.
Person I know and remember most was Sean Carroll.
Why?
I learned what I knew from him.
What was he doing?
He was he started on the machines. And he worked his way up, and he was chief as he worked his way up to senior foreman, and then he got overall.
Oh, I see.
And he was only about that height.
About 5 feet or four. Yes. Yeah.
And he made me, he took me, we actually fought on the floor.
Yeah.
The two of us, we fought. We knocked hell out of one another.
what was the fighting about?
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
You know. He said something to me, and I up told him, and I give you a kick in the ass. What's like you do? You get one back. But he was the supervisor, the head supervisor, and then he got control over the sort of mill, you know, a production supervisor, and then he was over all the foreman and the whole lot, but. He knew more about the machines than I forgot.
Yes, and he was a special mentor.
He was one of the machine men, and he took me under his shoulder. But what he did, I watched. And there were other men there too, but what he was the mainstay of my being able to do what I have done.
But Carl, you must tell me a little bit about the time, because we're talking about the 40s. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, 44, and 45.
So were the, for example, the conditions and the...
Oh, the conditions were rough. You know, if your machine broke down, you couldn't break for your lunch. You still had to walk away there and get it going again before you could take your break. If you didn't even break for all day, you had to take, you could eat it working, but you couldn't stop.
Yeah.
You know? And if the paper broke,
your job, your responsibility.
Oh, everybody in the machine on the machines, you know.
Yeah.
There were two big machines, and one machine they helped one another, you know.
You were saying.
To work together.
And was there, because after the war years, you still had, I suppose, people must have found it very, very difficult to live, because food was rationed and all of that.
Well, you see, if you knew a good shopkeeper,
now
Mama used to get extra loaves from the baker and all things like that. You never really starved.
No, I'd
you
say
didn't,
not.
No, you know.
No petrol. So, did you have a special bike section where all the workers would come in and?
Well, they mostly lived quite near.
So, you know, there's a lot of walking going on.
You walk to work all the time. It was 6 o'clock. I remember one morning we passed the. Oh, I'll get you that picture.
Oh, have you? Yeah. What am I looking at here?
There's the mill.
Yeah.
And there's part of it. There's the chimney. That's the tower road. The tower is still there.
So the chimney is towering over the round tower.
Huge. Yeah, but that's gone now.
Yeah.
And that's the way.
With just very few cars. I mean, there's only...
There's two there.
I'm sure it was... It was the parish priest and Dr. Cusick's car, is that right?
So there, around Tower Clondalkin.
Yeah.
That's the only one I have.
And...
That was the Protestant school.
Yeah.
And the church was down, the Protestant, that wall there. I was going down one day, 10 to 6 in the morning, the dark morning, and next this flipping thing came out over the ivy. Oh, I nearly died. It was a horse's head. He was inside eating the grass, and it was much higher up. I took off and I didn't stop till I hit the mill.
Where you were living in the middle of the town here?
No, just up this. Yeah. You come up and the road goes on and then it goes that way.
Yeah.
So we lived on the corner of this road here.
Yeah. What was the name of the street?
This is the Tower Road.
Yes, and the one that you
Main Street. Yeah.
Yeah.
We lived between Main Street and the Boot Road.
Yeah. And who were the shopkeepers?
Katie O'Sullivan had a little shop just opposite our house. And there was Healy's. The pub is still there. And there was Hart's. That was a publican. There were three or four pubs in a couple of houses. And Hart's and Healy's and Jacob's. They were two elderly spinsters. Very nice. They give you a tilly for an extra sweet or two when you bought them. And who else? It's Jacobs. Then there was the post office. There was a Leahy or Fahy. Whether it was Leahy or Fahy. I think it was Leahy.
And was there entertainment? There was no television.
There was a cinema.
There was a cinema.
Oh, still there.
What was that cinema called?
The Tower Cinema.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was packed out, I'm sure, because...
Well, there was a matinee every Sunday. And it was 4 pence for every seat in the place. 4p. And Ging, they had the corner shop at the mill.
Yeah.
Ging's, they own that.
Were you ever tempted to take the bus and go into the city? Was that...
When you got bigger, when you got started to smelling around.
But at that time, Clondalkin would have been seen as
it was an outpost.
Very much an outpost. Yeah,
7 miles or something from the city.
Yeah.
Oh, you went into town. Your mother went into town. And
but that was a special trip, was it?
Oh, yeah. Double-deckers started to come then.
Yeah.
I saw was a 5 double-deckers four going out to see a match one day from the village.
Really?
Yeah.
The main interest were games, were the GAA games.
That's all. Yeah, was it? Very little interest in hurling.
Or soccer? Or rugby?
Oh, soccer, yeah, the soccer they had, Camach Football Club. Yeah. That was a good club.
Yeah.
Yeah. No rugby that I know of.
Yeah.
No, soccer and Gaelic, and both teams were the same. Forbidden fruit.
Athletics and running and tennis and all these.
Oh, tennis. They had a tennis court up on the Nace Road. Yeah. And there weren't too many. You know, they said you were uppity if you were playing tennis. But I played tennis. My brother played it, you know.
And who owned the tennis courts? Was it a public thing?
They just got a field and put a net across it and made it. Some fella's father had a field.
Yeah.
And we had good fun, you know.
Yes.
And the old carriage, railway carriage to dress in.
But wasn't it interesting how people would associate you with, as you say, yuppity, if you were playing tennis or cricket?
I never played cricket, but tennis, you were uppity.
Yeah.
I wouldn't talk to them. Yeah. You know, it's extraordinary, you know.
Yeah. So growing up in a village, it's so different now. I mean, it's a town.
It's a town itself now. I always said I'd love to retire back to Clondalkin, but looking at it now, I wouldn't.
Would you not?
Not at all. Yes, I like the country, but now Clondalkin is a town. It's all over the place. There were no houses in front of our house. And now there's a row of shops. And the school is up in the... you know Clondalkin, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, the school is up in the... That was Nugent's farm.
Yes.
Where we used Rob the Orchard.
Yes. But it's a fascinating story. I suppose to kind of summarize or to recap on all your different places of work.
And then we went to school in Chicor.
Yeah.
And we used to get weekly tickets on the bus for 1 and 3 pence. In and out for the week. 1 and 3 pence on the bus.
Yes.
So... one day, we were all waiting, and I got a hold of the thing that grows in the... by the sides of a pond and that. The brown thing.
Tissels, or...?
No.
Bamboos, or...?
No, there was... Well, anyway, I brought one of them into the bus when I opened school. And Peter Ging, I think he became a priest afterwards. He threw it up the bus and the whole thing spread out and somebody else threw it back up the bus. And the conductor took all the weekly tickets off us, but he never took it off me. And Mutt Nolan, Lord have mercy, and the poor fellow died when he was 23. His mother was knocking at our door after he went home to school. He'd no weekly ticket to get in the next day. And she was complaining. And Mommy's nerves were bad at the time. And she opened the door and I came down to complain about your son, Carl. I have no son, Carl. She said, close the door. She didn't realise it. And I was inside breaking my heart laughing. I thought I was going to get hammered. But, you know, the things you do, that you used to.
Yeah, but those kind of school days, they were good days.
Ah, they were, yeah. Same way.
Where was the school again?
St. Michael's in Inchicore.
In Inchicore,
yeah.
Oh, why did you go that distance to that school?
Well, the only thing was up the monastery. I don't think there were 10 at it. But my family, there's Christian brothers in it since the foundation.
Yeah.
And I had to go to a Christian brother school.
Oh, I see, yes.
And I went from there to O'Connell's. That was across the city for secondary. But, oh, jeepers, they used to tell, Daddy knew everything about me in the school.
Yeah.
Oh,
were you boarding or were you commuting all day?
I went in and out in the bus.
Yeah.
For 1 and 3 pence a week. Much is that now? 5p? It's about 6p or something.
Yeah.
When you think of it.
It's extraordinary. In that length of time, would you go back to it? Would you go back to all those years of managing?
I was always happy.
At your work?
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
Even though it was slavery when I started.
Yeah.
But it paid off.
Yeah.
It was actual slavery. You worked 7 days a week. I imagine one Sunday, if I remember correctly, I got 3 Sundays off in the year.
Yeah.
And 2 of those were for holidays.
But you still... persisted and you got there in the end.
Well, Daddy says if you want to get on, you work.
Yeah. That's how you felt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I worked.
Well, Carol Welsh, it was lovely to come up here and talk to you today, and thank you very much.
Now,
yeah.
If I think of anything more now.
Yeah.
Probably, when you're gone, I'd probably think of a whole lot, you know. Yeah. But anyway, I had a good life.
Yeah.
Happy life, happy family.
And the girl you married, what was her name?
Betty Lynch, from off Infirmary Road in Dublin.
And how did you meet?
2 guesses.
Through the mill?
Tennis club.
Tennis, I see.
She played tennis and I played tennis. Yeah. In the Garda Club in Island Bridge.
Oh, yes.
And... I'd actually, we were coming out one day, and I had Peter Ryan with me and Morris Farnham and Dermot Carberry. They were my 3 pals, and I had a little car. We were coming out one day, and these 2 girls were walking down, and Peter says, he was sitting, hold on, I said, what's wrong? He said, here, give those a lift. And I said, certainly. So they came in and sat in the boys' laps. Even in that time, anybody gets into it. Maybe 10 in the car. And I just looked around and I saw Betty. So they got out. We dropped them down the end of Infirmary Road. And they got out and I turned around to the lads and I said, I'd love to marry that girl. Why? I said, I don't know. And there I did.
Oh, it's a nice story. Really
nice.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.